The word church means the called out group, the called out ones. That's what Brother Brennan gives the definition of the word church. It means the called out ones. It's all right. And that's really what Christ is calling us to in the Bible, is that we would be called out. That, you know, when you have an experience with Him, you don't fit into the world. And you're called out of the church. The same way that He talks about the Hebrew people when they were slaves in Egypt. And then when they left Egypt, that's when they became the called out ones. Okay, when they were in Egypt, they weren't the church. They were the people of God, but they weren't the church yet, because church means called out. And then once Moses helped deliver them out of Egypt, then they were the called out ones. Then they were the church of God. So that's when they became the church, when they were called out. And yeah, so that's that's part of being a church, is being called out, is being separate from the world. So Brother Wade tells a really good testimony where he tells his, I think it was a Baptist friend he had, that he was saved. You know, and the Baptist friend, you know, he still smokes, he was still drinking, he was still doing all those things. And he said, "I'm saved too." And then Brother Wade asked him, you know, "What were you saved from?" Because when Brother Wade was saved, he realized there was a difference in his life. He realized there were things he used to do that he didn't do anymore. That when he got convicted of doing certain things, he stopped doing those things. And that was what he was saved from. But this friend, they claimed to be saved, but their life before they were saved and after he was saved were identical. So it's like, what was he saved from? Where was the change? Where was the conviction? Where was the conversion? You know, what were you saved from? If your life is the same from before and after, and you're just saying you're saved, there has to be a difference in your life and in how you live and in what you value. So that's what it means to be a called out group. It doesn't mean to just, you know, come to church, but it means to be separate from the world. And the second question, what is the church called in the New Testament? There's A, Rock of Ages, B, the Messianic Empire, C, Spirit of the Letter, and D, the Chosen. B, yes, it was B, the Messianic Empire. And the significance behind that is that, you know, that the reason it's called the Messianic Empire is because the Messiah is in control. You know, if you look at the British Empire, where the King of Britain would be in control, or the Mesopotamian Empire, whoever rules Mesopotamia would be in control. But when it's the Messianic Empire, that means the Messiah is in control. And that's the significance behind the it being referred to as the Messianic Empire, because that's who's in control of the kingdom, is the Messiah. And anything that's against the teaching of Christ is A, questionable, B, rebellious, C, antichrist, D, off kilter. Say again?
C.
It is C. It is the antichrist. So it doesn't have to be. You know, we think the antichrist is and there is going to be a literal person, and it's going to come out of the Catholic Church and all those different things. But antichrist is anything that's just against the teachings of Christ. So if there's something that's, it can be a small thing, it can be a big thing. But if it's against the teachings of Christ, if it's contrary to the Bible and what the Bible preaches, if it's hedonism, or if it's like, you know, you just do what you want and don't care what anyone else thinks, and those types of things, those types of things that kind of sound good on the surface, but if you dig into them, they're actually against what the teachings of Christ, and that would be considered an antichrist. And four, when a woman is symbolized in the Bible, it pertains to A, church, B, dove, C, lily, D, sparrow. What does a woman symbolize in the Bible? I'm sure we all know this one. We should know this one.
A church?
Yes, a church. That's why the Revelations 18:4, you know, the scripture says, "Come out of her, my people." So there's a church and an organization, and Brother Branham touches on throughout the message, throughout this, you know, the sermon, that there's a church, and that when the church was organized, that's when everything kind of, you know, the ideas of what Christ was actually teaching were watered down in order to fit the organization, and that's why you see. Even if you were to ask someone who's Catholic or sometimes some denominations today, they put the authority in the church, you know, and sometimes they even put more authority in the church than in the scriptures. So they believe very strongly in their traditions, and that the church has the power to decide these things, and that's where a lot of these their ideas come from about, you know, how they do mass or how they fast or the Lent or all these different ideas that they have or these traditions that they have, because they believe the church has power to decide those things. And that's not how it was in the scriptures. It was always the God and what he was preaching, and the scriptures were the authority. But when they tried to organize the church, that's when it became bad, and that's why the scripture says, "Come out of her, my people." So it's about you coming out, and once again, it's that calling out, it's that being separate, and not what the world thinks, not what an organization thinks, but it's about what God thinks and what the scriptures say. And five, well, what does scarlet symbolize in the Bible? A, ill fame. B, ripe fruit. C, silk garments. D, a fowl of the air. Do we remember what red symbolizes? The answer would be A, ill fame. And when Brother Branham talks about ill fame, he talks about how an ill-famed woman wouldn't be loyal to her husband. So then if a woman symbolizes the church, then who is her husband supposed to be? Anybody. If a woman symbolizes the church, who is the church's husband supposed to be?
God.
Yes, God. It should be God. That's who the church should be married to. Because there's nowhere else to get your source of scripture or doctrine or teachings. It's going to be God. So that's why Brother Branham teaches so hard against organizations, because that's when they get away from God. That's when, you know, it starts becoming man's ideas, man's traditions in the church. Because what is the church? As we know, it's a gathering of people, and it's what people decide should be or should happen, or denomination. It's what the Methodists or the Baptists think, and that's their faith. It's more along the lines of the church. That's why when Brother Branham asks people, "Are you a Christian?" instead of just saying, "Yes, I'm a Christian," they refer to, "Oh, I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Methodist. I'm this. I'm that." They put that denomination, they put what the church is saying before what they put what God is saying. So that shows you who they're really married to. That's who their church is really married to. Is their own ideas and traditions than they are the Word of God. The church is married to the Word of God. You just, someone asks you a Christian, you just say yes, because you follow Christ, you believe in Christ. But if you put a church doctrine or denomination or a belief above Christ, well then, and those people would be more inclined to say, "Oh, I'm a Catholic." Or one lady even said, "Oh, I'm an American." But Brother Branham said it has nothing to do with it, you know. So it's not about anything else, it's about the church's marriage to Christ. And Jesus Christ and his teachings. So what does a beast symbolize in the Bible? A, a large feast. B, a misunderstanding. C, cleanliness. Or D, power.
Power.
Power. Yes, it is power. What city is built on seven hills? A, the Himalayas. B, Italy. C, Barcelona. D, Rome.
No.
Is Rome. And that's why Brother Branham's talking about in Revelation, when they talk about, it specifically talks about a city on seven hills. And Rome is known for being a city built on seven hills. And so that, and he talks about that being the origin of, you know, the mother, what is called in the Bible, the mother whore, the idolater, is because, like Brother Branham's talking about, the woman as a church and being ill-famed is being disloyal to her husband. So then that church, and we know that the Catholic Church started in Rome, Italy. And that's where they kind of organized everything, and they said this is how it should be. And it was really more so the leading of men than it was the leading of the Holy Spirit. And even as we get further into the test, and if you listen to the sermon, we're going to realize that the power that we have comes from the Holy Ghost. It's not going to be from our own ideas or thoughts about what the Word says, but it's going to come from the Holy Ghost and what that has to say. But when they organized in Rome, they weren't looking for the leading of the Holy Spirit. They were only looking for, you know, what they thought was right, what they decided should be implemented in their system. So it wasn't about the leading of the Holy Spirit. It was about what they believed should be implemented. And number 8, when did the church begin? A, at the revelation of the Ten Commandments. B, at Pentecost. C, when Saul became Paul. D, when John the Baptist died. When did the church begin?
At Pentecost.
It was at Pentecost. Because that's when that's when the Holy Ghost came into them. It was at Pentecost. And Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." So now Jesus, after Pentecost, Jesus can dwell in anyone, Jew or Greek. In the Old Testament, the Jews are the called out people specifically, who then they're supposed to be lived differently. That's why you see in the Old Testament, they're given a lot of laws and commandments. And it's even, they don't even marry other tribes because, you know, it was the Jews specifically who were supposed to be a called out people. And they were supposed to live separately from the world, and there were certain laws where they were just given so that they would be separated and different from the other people. But when Jesus dies and is resurrected, now he can come and live in whoever will receive the promise, and then anyone can be part of the called out group regardless of your genetic background or, you know, who you were before, and even if they were considered Gentile dogs. Well, now it's just based on faith, and whoever so will believe. So it's not based on your physical or genetic background, but it's based on whoever will receive the Holy Ghost in their soul. Number 9, but ye shall receive power after that blank is come upon you. A, the Holy Ghost. B, much mirth. C, the spirit of Elijah. D, lamentations.
The Holy Ghost.
It is the Holy Ghost. That is where our power comes from. So it's not going to be like this. It doesn't come from the fact. It's not even from the fact that we come to church or that we sing gospel songs, or even if we believe that God sent a prophet. It's when the Holy Ghost enters your soul, and there's a lot of people that will be well aware of the fact that God sent a prophet, and they will still go to hell because they were never converted. They were never started. They never actually, you know, fell in love with Christ and actually followed the scriptures. You know, because they desire to get to know more of Christ. So though they might be in message churches, you know, it doesn't mean just because you're in message church that you've been converted, but you really have to have the Holy Ghost in your soul. The Holy Ghost never entered into their soul, and that's why they'll never truly have an experience with the Lord. Now, if they didn't read their Bible, you know, with the intent of truly understanding God and seeking His will in their life. And as David said in Psalms 27, you know, his will was to dwell in the house of the Lord and inquire in His temple. Now, David didn't even have the Holy Ghost, but that was his desire as a believer, you know, before the Holy Ghost was available to men. But as a believer, his desire was to inquire in the house of God and to know God and to truly understand God. And that's why he would inquire. That's why he would ask questions. And that's why he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord, to truly get to know God and understand God and what God's will was for him. Even though David fell many times, his desire was always to get closer to God. And I think that's why he was a man after God's own heart, because he truly wanted to get closer to God, even though he fell so many times. So that's the desire we should have. And it shouldn't just be we come to church and we do these things because, you know. And it's not even necessarily just about believing that it's true, but you have to follow it. You know, anyone can believe that, you know, it's true, but to truly devote your life to it, you know, you can believe something. You can think it's true, but you really have to devote your life to it. You really have to accept it in your heart. You know, many people will know it's true and they won't follow it. Many people are going to know it's true and they'll still turn away. So you really have to devote your life to it and say, God, I'm going this way. No matter what. No matter what anyone else says, no matter what anyone else does, if all my friends and family abandon your word, I'm still going to read my Bible. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to listen to the tapes. I'm still going to be a Christian, no matter what anyone else has to say about it. You know, if you were stranded on a desert island and no one else was there, you know, would you still pray to God? Would you still read your Bible? Would you still do those things? If you were just completely isolated from the world, Would you still be a Christian? And that's the type of faith you have to have, is that it's not dependent on, you know, if someone can drive you to church or you know, if you're in a good financial situation or if anything's happening in your life. You know, it's not dependent on those things. It's dependent on whether or not you love the Lord enough. and whether your heart is truly converted and devoted to Christ. And 10, number 10, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to A, those who have obtained favor, B, the Pharisees, C, every creature, D, the Romans. Who is the gospel to be preached to?
Every creature.
So that's why I would say don't be shy to talk about what you believe, because the gospel needs to be made known to every creature. And I'm sure if you've been listening, you know, as Brother Wade's been preaching, it's not that the rapture is just there's a set time that it has to happen, but God is waiting, you know, for every creature, for every last member of the bride to come to perfection and to get to be converted. So it's not, you know, we should of course never be ashamed, but also that's what God's waiting on, is for everyone to get in, for everyone to get the new birth, for everyone that He knows is part of His bride to get ready and make themselves ready. So don't be afraid to talk about what you believe. Always be proud to be a Christian, and don't be afraid to, you know, preach the gospel to every creature. Number 11, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word blank. A, in the terms thereof, through their labor. C, in high places. D, with signs following. This one would be D, with signs following. So it's, I like that the emphasis there is that signs followed the ministry, and they didn't wait for signs to confirm it. They didn't wait for a sign. They didn't wait for something to happen, but they believed it was true and they went forth, and then the signs followed after it. So they went forth believing and the signs came later. So sometimes as a Christian, you're going to have to take that leap of faith and knowing what God, you know, might want you to do. And the signs and the fruit of whether or not it was the right thing to do might come after. So, and if you mess up, you know, you'll learn from your mistakes, and God will teach you and nurture you. But sometimes you have to, if you know it's in the scriptures, if you know it's in the word, you have to go forth with it in confidence, and then the signs will follow. So we don't look for signs, but when we're in the will of the Lord, the signs will follow. And number 12, this is in Ephesians, blank, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. A, walk with. B, and grieve not. C, disperse. D, overcome jealousy with. This one is B, and grieve not. So it's saying, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. So you can grieve the Holy Spirit, you know, especially as a part of the called out group in the church. We want to be loyal to our husband. If you were in a relationship and somebody was unfaithful to you, lied to you, betrayed you, or said something hurtful, you know, it would upset you and you would feel sad or grieved. And that's how God feels when we choose, you know, when we choose something over Him, when we choose the world over Him, when we choose our own denominational ideas over Him, when we choose what we want to do over Him, you know, because it truly is a relationship between us and God. And if you choose someone else in that relationship, you know, that's going to grieve. That is going to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. So it's not just about what we want, about what we need, but it's about also our spiritual partner. And that's God, and seeing what would He desire, what would He want. And sometimes we go into our conversations and our prayer and our communication with God so much desiring, you know, what we want or what God can do for us. But we never think, you know, what does God want? Like, how can I make God please God? You know, because at the end, it's either going to be depart from me, I never knew you, or it's going to be well done and good and faithful servant. So those are the two options at the end. So it's either going to be I never knew you, or well done, good and faithful servant. So you really want to make sure that God is pleased with you, you know, and our desire is to know God, but we also want God to know us, because it says depart from me, I never knew you. So it's not just about us knowing who God is and knowing what God is, but it's also about Him knowing us. So do we know Him? Do we have that relationship? This can't just be a one-sided relationship where we take and we want to get what we want, and then we never figure out what God wants. We never want to serve. And, you know, the true spirit of a Christian is a servant. It's not someone who's just going to take and take and take and just see what they can get, but it's going to be someone who has a desire to serve. Number 13, have you received the Holy Ghost? And the answer is, since you believed. So, does anyone know the three stages of the new birth? Do we know the three stages? Do we know the first stage?
To give the new birth?
Yeah, the three stages of giving the new birth.
Justification.
Yeah. Justification, then.
Sanctification.
And then.
The new birth.
Yeah, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So those are the three stages. And justification is the believing stage. That is when you first believe. That's why the Holy Ghost is a separate thing. That's why he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Justification is when you believe. So a lot of people will believe and they think, okay, well, I'm a believer. Well, yeah, you're a believer, but are you converted? Do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the new birth? So you can believe, but that's just justification. And I'm sure many of the ministers can preach this better than I can, but there's a sanctification is when he cleans you out. They use the bottle or the glass analogy where, you know, you're a dirty glass, you're out in the world, you're lost, and then one day God comes and picks you up. And that's justification, when you accept what he did for you, and then he can come and pick you up and claim you. And then sanctification is when he cleans out the vessel and is set aside for service. So now the vessel is clean, but he's not going to use it yet. And then once he fills you with his spirit, once he fills you with his water, with his spirit, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So now the spirit has come inside your soul. So there's three stages of justification. Three stages of the new birth. And believing is just justification. So you must believe. Then Brother Branham says, you know, you'll have habitual sins, maybe. And you all know, if you'll know for yourself, if you have a habitual sin, if you're a habitual liar, if you're habitual struggling with lust, or if you're struggling with, you know, different thoughts, or if you're habitually doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, people who have addictions, anything that's habitual, you know, you need to have that cleaned out of you. And then once that's cleaned out of you, then God will fill you with his spirit, and that'll be the proof that you have the new birth. So justification is simply the first stage, believing, and a lot of people get stuck there because they just believe and they think believing is enough. Well, you also have to be cleansed out and then filled with his spirit, so his spirit will guide you. You still need to be cleansed and filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's not enough to just believe, but we have to believe God wants us to go all the way. And then even after getting the new birth, you go into perfection and to gain those virtues. You know, so remember, that's where your power as a Christian comes from. It's from the new birth. It's from the Holy Ghost dwelling in your soul. And that's where your power comes from. And number 14, what is the prescription for sin? As Brother Branham said, and as the Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Ghost. So I think everyone is baptized. He's getting baptized today. But if you haven't been baptized, you know, that's the first step, is to be baptized. And that's the prescription for sin, is to be baptized and then believe that you'll receive the Holy Ghost and that God will lead you in that way. Number 15, one of the things that Brother Branham said to the Catholic lady, and he said, you know, screaming and crying will be in heaven. He said, you don't believe the word of God. And he said, that's heathen. Mary is not a goddess or a mother of God. There are many things he said to her, accepted pretty much every answer. What that was written down. That was that he did say to her. But yeah, there was many things that she believed that you know, and you do make it pagan when you worship Mary. You worship anything other than Jesus. That is a pagan idea. That is a denominational idea, and you get away from worshiping. Remember, the church's husband. It's not the ideas. It's not Mary. Not anything else. It's going to be God. And 16 through 15, or was it 16 through 20. Brother Branham actually answers this. I know not everyone got to the second half of the listen to the tape, but you know, even if you didn't take the test or you didn't do well on the test, or you didn't finish or listen to it, I encourage you to still listen to it and still listen to the tape, because it's just a very edifying tape, and these tests are more than just, you know, me trying to test you guys, but it's really that I want you guys to actually understand what's being preached in these sermons. So please, if you didn't listen to it, please continue to go back and listen to the rest of it, because it's really not about the test, it's about you understanding what you know the truth. So Brother Ram says, what is the identification of the church? What is she to be? What was she? What is it? The called out group. So that's the church. He says, who set it up? Jesus Christ. Not a bishop, not the Catholic Church, not Methodist, not Lutheran, not Wesley. No, sir. Who set it up? Jesus Christ. So that's, he's touching on that, because a lot of people, you know, the Lutherans will preach Lutheran's doctrines and the Methodists will preach John Wesley's doctrine, but they're forgetting to preach the doctrine of Christ, which is the scriptures. And they put more emphasis on the church. So what is its message? Repentance, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Ghost, divine healing, salvation. All those things are scriptural, and gives scriptural references to them in the sermon. How do we become a member of it? By being born into it. This is a family of God. You don't join a church and become a member of God. You have to be born into it. And do we remember how we get born? How do we get born? How are we born again? The only way to be born again. You must first die. That is the only way to be born again, is if to die to yourself first, and then you were born again. And he says, can we get to heaven without it? No, sir. So those are the last five answers. And God bless you. You're dismissed.